Good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to our second Anchored in the Word morning reflection and hope that your week has started out well and that the text in front of us is something that you are already beginning to dig into and think about and that the Lord is using that to be a help to you. What I'd like to do this morning is read the text again and remind you of the topic we're addressing, and that is how God uses suffering to shape us into spiritually mature individuals. And so the passage in front of us, Psalm 40, we'll read the first couple of verses together and then look at this first part of this dealing with the issue of resilience and how God develops resilience in us. Here's God's word. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Now, the topic we're addressing this morning is how God takes suffering and he uses it to cause us to become resilient. And it's important for us to recognize that there are certain qualities that we have as believers that are the result of a process that is painful and maybe frustrating and challenging at times. But these qualities are, in fact, very important. God values those qualities. He wants to shape us into the image of Christ, and he wants those things to be a part of who we are. Therefore, he allows us to go through hardships. And hardships are an inescapable part of life. I want you to notice what he says in verse 1. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And then I want us to think about what he meant by that. Now, in order to appreciate it, we have to actually go back several Psalms and look at the progression of events that were going on in David's life. When he states, I waited patiently for the Lord, sometimes we get in our minds, here's someone who was suffering and struggling, and they were just handling every single situation perfectly, and they didn't doubt God at any point in it. They weren't struggling. They weren't weary. They just continued to endure. They were able to go through those things without any kind of weakness being demonstrated. But that is definitely not what we see in these verses. This statement means that he suffered with an expectation of deliverance, and that expectation was an earnest expectation. He was anticipating that God would deliver him. But that word suffering is important. It was a part of it. For instance, in Psalm 38, we see this transparent documentation of how David suffered and how he grew through that process of highs and lows. And think about some of the things that he expresses in these verses. For instance, at one point, David was convinced that God hated him. In verse 1 of 38, he says, Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. And so rather than David recognizing that God was a loving father who was, yes, chastening his son, he saw him as someone who was angry, full of wrath against him, and someone who was displeased with a hot displeasure. That's how David viewed God. It wasn't correct. It wasn't consistent with God's actual disposition toward him as his son. But that is how David felt. Or another example is at some points his conscience was so deeply overwhelmed with guilt that he was physically sick. In verse 3, it says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. And so it wasn't just that David felt as if God was his enemy in the way that he was relating to him, but David was so guilty in his conscience that he actually became physically ill. At other points, he felt completely hopeless, and he felt vulnerable as if God had abandoned him. And in verse 19, he says, mine enemies are lively and they are strong. Those that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. And David is lamenting to God how he feels. What is David doing? He is actually expressing some of the highs and the lows of what he described as waiting patiently for the Lord. In Psalm 39, we also see that during this difficult season of life, he faced the limitations and the weaknesses that he encountered as a mere mortal. And so in verse 4, he says, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I might know how frail I am. It's not that David became frail, it's that David became aware of his frailty. And the fact is that our lives are in God's hands, and it could happen at any moment. Some circumstances could turn, and we could find ourselves on the other side of eternity. That's how delicate our lives are. Yet we don't often live with that consideration in our minds. We live as if we are invincible and as if we're just going to continue as we are. And we don't consider the fact our lives are in God's hands. And so David expresses that. So that statement, waiting patiently, is something that may not look or feel very impressive. David struggled. Sometimes he failed. But God sustained him. God guided him. God worked steadily in his life. And as God worked steadily in his life, he grew through those struggles to become the man that he would become as a spiritually matured individual. And what we see is that this is ultimately developing within David spiritual resilience and strength and tenacity and a steadfast reliance on God. And so this theme of resilience is something that we find all over the Bible. And we find in these examples of text talking about resilience that God often talks about the role of suffering and difficulty in the Christian life. Let me give you a couple of examples of this. For instance, in James chapter 1, he says that the trying or the testing of our faith produces patience. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Or again, in 1 Peter chapter 4, we see that we will one day be glad with exceeding joy. He says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. A third example is Romans chapter 5. And he talks about how tribulation produces patience. He says, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. What do these three passages of Scripture have in common? Well, they all emphasize the fact that suffering is a real part of life. It's an inescapable part of life, yet it's something that God uses to develop maturity in the lives of his children. And because he uses it to develop maturity in his children, we should not rejoice in the kind of thing that is happening to us, but rather in how God uses the thing and what God is accomplishing in the big picture through the thing that is a part of this process. And so I asked this question this morning. What do we take away from the study? There's actually a lot of things we could take away from it. One thing I'll say is this. You might find yourself listening to this or watching this video, and you find yourself in a very difficult place. You are suffering. Your life is in a low point. And I just want to remind you that when God sees you in that situation, it doesn't catch him off guard. He's in no way callous toward you in your suffering. He loves you dearly. And he's going to use what's going on in your life to accomplish good. And you might say, well, how is that possible? Well, stay with us throughout the rest of this week. We're going to look at Psalm 40. And how this is a testimony of God's faithfulness. There might be someone who would say, well, thankfully, I'm not in that place. Do I really need to think about this? And the answer is, yes, you do. You need to be prepared for the difficult days, because most certainly they will come. In Ecclesiastes 12, he talks about us remembering our Creator in the days of our youth. There are other passages of Scripture that talk about us being prepared for the evil day. I think of Ephesians chapter 6, where to put on the whole armor of God that we can withstand in the evil day. And so a part of living the Christian life isn't just going through these situations, but it's preparing for them by having our minds filled with God's word. So let's take these things to heart. Let's process them deeply, and let's let them become a part of our hearts and our lives. And let's rejoice in what God accomplishes through everything in our lives. I hope that gives you some things to think about this morning. Lord willing, tomorrow we will meet again early in the morning. And so I hope that you'll share this with others who might be encouraged by it. And I hope that you have a blessed rest of your day. Lord willing, we'll meet again tomorrow. Bye now.